Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome into Poke the Bear episode 223, presented by Prize Picks. Go use that promo code CLNS to get up to $100 matched on your first deposit. Again, go use our friends over at Prize Picks. That's Connor Ryan, Evan Marinofsky. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. The vibes are good today. That's what happens when you win game three. When you win game three, the vibes are good. If it wasn't, the vibes would be bad. When we did Bruins beat the other day after game two, it was more of a negative thing. I mean, that's the whole point of the playoffs, right? You're not, if your team loses games, you know, 4 and 5, but they won game one, you're not like, well, but they won game one, you know, woohoo. I must say this though, before we get into Bruins talk, very excited for the NFL draft to be over. I need that out of, I need to stop seeing the mock drafts. I can't do it anymore, Connor. I need it to just be done. It's been months of this. So glad we got this to divert my focus, thankfully.
All I'm saying, man, if the Patriots trade down and get JJ McCarthy, I'm going to be in a bad state next time I'm on the pod. I've got a pod tomorrow, so we'll see. If I look extremely disheveled, if all of a sudden my beard looks like Robin Williams at the start of Jumanji, you know, stuff's hit the fan. So,
yeah, I'm hoping that they just pick whoever, whether it's May or Daniels, just pick one of them and move on. Anyways, Bruins, huge win on Wednesday night. Beat the Leafs 4-2 in game three, 2-1 series lead. Just, you know, to start, what was sort of your big takeaway from Wednesday's game?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one has to be, you know, Marchand and what he did to elevate his team to a much-needed win, as you said. This is a guy that was productive the first couple of games, but still just didn't seem like the Marchand we've come to see countless times, especially in the playoffs, a guy who's really elevated his game, put the team on his back, and whether it's just kind of pucks dying on his stick or not really showing a willingness to shoot, just seemed like something was off with his overall game. And then third period just completely did a 180.
Sicko mode, as the kids would say.
And like a vintage Marchand performance, right? Like, why is he such a, you know, unique player? It's like, yeah, I mean, he's got that shot, we just sniped it over Samsonov's shoulder for the game-winning goal. But beyond the offensive talent, and he also, like, helped set up some of these other goals with, like, I know you posted the clip of his entry, you know, was that before the DeBrusque goal? The start of the third period, right?
That was.
Yeah, so, like, a play like that obviously gets the primary assist on DeBrusque's power play goal as well, but to, you know, also just drive the Maple Leafs insane and throw them off their game. And again, like, I think you give credit to the Maple Leafs in this series. Like, they've ratcheted up the physicality as well. I think it's what, like, they combined for, it was like 130 hits in game three.
Either 130 or 138 hits.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, they were walloping the Bruins, especially early on in that game. And they've done a good job at kind of, you know, shifting that physicality, or at least matching what the Bruins have kind of done in terms of elevating their game. But it's one thing to, like, you know, adhere to the regular playoff hockey, be good on the forecheck, and Toronto's done that. It's another thing to, like, not take the bait when you've got a guy that's driving you insane. We've seen this how many times? We saw that, like, I remember in 2019, that four-game sweep against Carolina, Marchand was doing a clinic against, like, Justin Williams and some of those guys.
Yes.
When he had the little C, and was driving him nuts. Like, and again, like, I think now Bruins fans, you know, Marchand's not the same guy that used, you know, Daniel Sedin's face as a speed bag in 2011. He's not that same kind of player, but he knows how to bug the bejesus out of teams and throw them off the game. And whether it's, you know, getting tangled up with Tyler Bertuzzi leading to, you know, Trent Frederick's goal, where I don't know if Samsonov was still watching.
the worst goal I've ever seen in a hockey game ever.
I mean, listen, if I saw like,
you and me could have stopped that puck. And I'm not, absolutely, like, I'm not joking.
Absolutely not. But I thank you for pumping my tires. But I don't know if Samsonov was just watching the fracas in front of him and not seeing Frederick, you know, come down the ice with that shot. But like Marchand, you know, influences that. He has Sheldon Keefe talking about how he's driving the Bruins crazy afterwards. I think was it Matthew Knies after the game said you can't, you know, you have to ignore his bullshit. So like he's doing his job. He's doing what he can. He's dragging his teammates into the fight, obviously, and producing, but he's also doing the little things that over a long series can bug the ever living crap out of some of these teams. And he's done it so far.
What was when Samsonov allowed that goal against Craig Smith in the playoffs, what was it that Ovechkin said to Samsonov? Was it like, don't fall asleep, bitch, in Russian or something?
It was something like that, yeah.
I just to find it, and I couldn't find it.
We need better lip readers, right? Because you had...
Sportsnet almost completely threw the series.
I mean, like, what the hell was that? And I had, like, so Sportsnet... It was Sportsnet who posted it, right? Of Marchand. So, like, Marchand scores the empty netter after... Marchand scores the empty netter after, once again, upending Tyler Bertuzzi. Like, again, rough game for him. And even he scored... He technically was credited with that goal that deflected off of his skate. But you look at Marchand scores the empty netter, goes to the bench, the Bruins bench, and Sportsnet posts a clip of him and says, like, Marchand says, like, what is it? Bruins in five? Is that what he...
Or, like it's over in five.
It's over in five.
Yeah.
And it quite clearly, if you check the tape, he's looking up at the clock and says, "What? Well, it's still 35, as if there's 35 seconds left on the clock, which seems like, again, Marchand is a great heel in hockey. I don't think he's cutting a WWE promo in the middle of skating to the bench. Like, I think he's clearly looking at the clock as a captain being like, guys, make sure our shit's together. Still 35 seconds to go in this game. Like, seems like the more rational response. Sportsnet doubles down. They then deleted it. But then I think it was either like BR Open Ice or was it like Turner or someone else like posted it as well, where they were like, Marchand said like Bruins in five. And I was like, guys, let's stop doing this. Like, it's absolutely not what he said.
Open Ice is like Marchand goes past the Leafs bench, says Bruins in five, and it's like 18 laughing emojis, a couple like sunglass emojis. Like, oh, yeah. Like,
so we have lip readers for Russian. But we don't have to I know Martian's got a little bit of like a Nova Scotian accent. I'm not here to throw stones with accents or anything like that. But like he clearly says still 35.
I hope he didn't say Bruins at five, because every time Martian chirps someone like on Twitter, it always goes wrong. Like the Trocheck stuff with the Hurricanes, that never went well. But I was shocked at that. It's like just like, you know, I've been in that position where you're with NCAA back in the day, where you're like tweeting something, and granted we were the league, but it's like, make sure like you know what you're doing before you put it out there, because you know the Leafs could look at that and be like, no, he clearly said Bruins in five. We, you know, this is bulletin board material, when he clearly didn't say that.
Brad so I gotta kick out of that. Marchand. Brad,
yeah, that's right. They're crying. They're gonna be crying at the end of the game.
I think that Connor Ryan is such a good writer. That's what he was saying. So.
That's exactly what he said. We got it. Next game, we got to start any clip we see of any like Bruin or anybody talking. We got to like just make it like pretend they said like the weirdest thing. Like, I don't even like just have them say random stuff.
That's what AI is for, Evan. I believe we can do that quite easily now with technology. Just make someone say something they didn't say. So
yes, we could have something like, you know, like it's Montgomery like talking to Hampus Lindholm or something, and he's like, Montgomery clearly said the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, and yes. I think we should roll with that. That
yes,
I don't know if that'd be that funny. That might be great.
I would chuckle.
Thank you. I tweeted on Thursday a picture of Drake Bell in an airport with the May calendar on him. I was like, this is gonna fucking do numbers.
I hated that tweet.
It has eight likes.
I saw that and I was like, oh, and I like I didn't like just scroll the next one. I like scrolled like 40 tweets down.
You know, like, yes. That was, yeah, I've had better ideas than that. But vintage Marchand, and, you know, I get a kick out of the Maple Leafs. You know, Sheldon Keefe after the game immediately complaining about Marchand. And it's like, dude, your team had 5 power plays and didn't score on one of them. Like, there is the problem, right? Like, the Bruins have a little bit of a gripe with the refs. I thought some of those calls were borderline. I think the refs missed, like, they missed that high stick by Tavares on McAvoy.
Yeah.
But, like, to come, you know, if you're Sheldon Keefe, to come out and immediately, you know, just do the old sad sack routine of, hey, NHL, please start calling more penalties. Like, they called 5 against the Bruins. Like, again, you said 5 power plays. You didn't score on any of them. Like, I don't understand how, from the Leafs' perspective, you can come out of that game and be like, man, we got screwed. Like, I don't understand that element to it. Like, again, if Samsonov just focuses on the play and makes that Frederick save, I don't know if they're complaining about Marchand. Like, so again, score on your power plays and make the easy save. And it seems like suddenly that Marchand thing sort of dissipates. But again, you know, the Leafs are good at a lot of, like, I think the Leafs are good at a lot of things.
Yeah.
They're soft, though, still. Like, when it comes down to it with stuff like this, like, it's just soft. Like, come on, you know? And again, Montgomery made that weird comment about the spending more time in Toronto. Like, come on. Like, stop. Stop with that. But I just, you know, complain. Like, the Sheldon Keefe comments, like, come on, dude. Like, I don't see that, you know?
No. And also, I mean, you just look at the way this series has gone. Like, you kind of hit the nail on the head there with the fact that, like, Marchand had a takeover game, but let's face the facts. Like, the Bruins are also up 2-1 in this series because they're kind of following the script that we kind of mapped out. Like we said before the series started, Maple Leafs are a very good team. Really, I think people don't realize how effective they are at 5-on-5 play, how much damage they can do there. Mm-hmm. But you look at where the Bruins have these sizable advantages. It's in net, where you've got Jeremy Swayman and Linus Allmark, which we'll talk about in a second. But, like, you're not, hopefully, prone to having goals against, like, Samsonov has. Like, Samsonov has an .890 save percentage in the regular season for a reason. Like, and again, he even had, like, really good saves in game 2. You give him credit for that. But, like, he's prone to some of those where you're, like, if you're a Maple Leafs fan. So you have that advantage. And also, you look at just the special teams, right? Like, Bruins had an awful power play going into the playoffs. They're now 5-for-10. And then you, like, Toronto's 1-for-11 on their power play. Like, that's kind of the game there. Like, Toronto is, again, you're even at goals and at 5-on-5 play, you both have scored 5 goals. Maple Leafs have a sizable advantage in scoring chances. I think it's like 78-48 is the edge in 5-on-5 scoring chances. But if your goaltending's going to hold up, you're going to be able to land punches against Samsonov, and the special teams are going to be that different in terms of their level of production. You probably feel pretty good about your game if you're the Bruins.
You do. And if you really want to feel good about your game, you go to our friends over at Prize Picks.
Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a whole new level during basketball and hockey's postseason. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and a huge selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. And with the Celtics season in full swing, there's plenty of opportunities to participate in Prize Picks. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum for more than 30 points, Kristaps Porzingis for more than 2 blocks. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, use code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. And now let's get back to the show.
So Game four, goaltending. You just mentioned it. Bruins goaltending has been phenomenal in the series. Jeremy Swayman had an awesome game in game three. Do you stick with the rotation? Do you go back to Swayman? I think if people watch the postgame show, they know where I stand. If you watch the postgame show, you know where I stand on this. But Connor, where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I mean, I just think you got to go sweep the leg, as they say in the Karate Kid. I think you got to sweep the leg and stay with
Swayman. Yeah, Ty's saying go for the knockout. You're saying sweep the leg.
What's your saying?
Kick him in the nuts.
Okay, yeah.
Kick him in the balls.
Why am I not surprised? Yes. No, I do think you look at just how good Swayman has been, right? And again, like, I preface this by saying that I still don't think Hallmark was the reason they lost game two. I thought he was fantastic in that game. The game should have been even more lopsided. But I think when you look at just how good Swayman's playing, it's not like he's winning games, but it's, you know, he's given up three goals on 28 shots or something like that. Like, he's playing at a elite level against a high-powered Toronto offense. And Montgomery even kind of said it on Thursday during their off day. They had media availability in Toronto and was like, yeah, Max Domi skating into Swayman, like, maybe he's in their head a little bit, which Sheldon Keefe did not like that comment.
No, he did
later on. But, like, there is that factor in it, right? And again, like, the Bruins can look at the goalie rotation, and it's been great all year. And, like, they wouldn't be, like, completely remiss to keep it going if they wanted to. But, like, you also have to factor in the mental aspect. Like, you can stare at the stats, and listen, they speak for themselves in terms of Swayman. He's what? He's won 5 games against this Toronto team this year, with just this year alone, with a .957 save percentage. But once they start adding up for a team like the Maple Leafs that are, you know, maybe they're gripping their sticks a little tighter going into a game four, a game they need to win in their own building, if you look across the other side of the ice, and it's that Swayman guy who's making life miserable for you, and it's been the case all year long. So, again, what the Bruins will do, that remains to be seen, because I would not be surprised if they go back to Ullmark and keep the goal rotation going. But, man, you like look at just how good Swayman's been, how much momentum I think you can kind of carry over into this game, and especially like with the extra day off, how much that maybe could help Swayman, because I think that is something that needs to be cognizant for people, is just their reps and how their work usage has been and how that goalie rotation helps them out. But with that extra day of rest, I just look at what Swayman's done in the series. I feel like you go and try to sweep the leg in game four, right? Again, if they win, it's still 3-1. We saw what happened last year. Does not mean you're clinching the series, but man, you feel really good about your game and the overall kind of momentum of the series. If Swayman starts again, gives you a win on the road in Toronto, you come back to game five, and then maybe you go back to Omar. Like, you keep him fresh. Not to say Ullmark was, a net negative in that game too, but if you have to then turn to a potential clinching game at home with the reigning Vezina winner, who played really well in game two, feel pretty good about your game, I think.
I agree. I mean, Montgomery mentioned on Thursday on whether extra day between games will impact goalie decision for game four. He said, we're going to have more rest, but the rotation's been so good for us. So, you know, it's a hard decision. I think Swayman is the move. You go with Swayman in game four. He's too good right now. You have an opportunity to, as you said, sweep the leg, as Ty said, knock him out, as I said, kick him in the dick. You know,
he said nuts.
That's true. I did say nuts. Well, you can go for, I mean, you know,
yeah,
one
true.
Can hit both. You know, I you have to go for the knockout. Like, you're in Toronto, you have this opportunity in front of you. You go for it. And you mentioned it also, like, you can go to Ullmark in game five, right? I think if you're up 3-1 and it's like, all right, we don't want to have Swayman play three in a row. You can go to Ullmark. Now, there's also the argument that, like, go for the knockout again at home. And, like, Swayman is that good against them. And so I'm fine with that. But I, like, going off that comment, now, I didn't hear it. I just read it. So I don't know what his tone, what Montgomery's tone was or anything. Wouldn't shock me if they went back to Ullmark. Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
Because I said it after game two. I was like, it feels like they're going to do the rotation for the first four games and then see where they're at for game five, six, seven. Wouldn't shock me if that's the case. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I don't think Ullmark puts them at a disadvantage. Like, I think Ullmark would be fine. He was fine in game two. Like, that's not the issue. The point is that Swayman just has the Leafs number. Like, and in a series where you are trying, you know, it's a close series and you're trying to gain any little edge you can, and Swayman's given you that much of an advantage. Like, If Swayman comes out in game four and they lose, are people second guessing that? No. And I'm not saying you don't, because it can't be second guessed. But if Ulmark comes out in game four and they lose, whether it's like in game two or it's more convincing, like, then you're like, dude, just keep Swayman in there.
Yeah.
And again, as I said, don't ever make decisions based off the fact that people can or can't second guess you. But from our perspective, like, I think Swayman, going back to Swayman is the move. So,
yeah. I mean, you also just look at the fact that, like, we've talked about this before with how they handle the goalie rotation and, like, how it can very much be just like a feel-based approach. And, you know, it could be the argument that you keep the guy in net until they lose. So far, Swayman hasn't lost yet. But even if, like, they deviate from the script a little bit and go with Swayman in game four, and then whatever it is in game five, you either go with a knockout with Swayman or Ulmark, like, it's all about surviving and advancing. And, like, it doesn't mean just because maybe you stuck with Swayman for a little bit more in this first round, you're abandoning, you're throwing Ulmark to the Shadow Realm moving forward. Like, every round is its new set of challenges. So all of a sudden you go against the Florida Panthers in the second round, you start the clock all over again. You go with, maybe it's the same thing with, maybe both guys give you similar returns. It all, I think, depends on the matchup and how a guy's playing in the moment. And when Swayman's playing this well against Toronto, take advantage of it, survive in advance, and then reassess things. Every series has its own little set of battles and matchups, and you got to do it four times. You want to win the cup.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, you know, Swayman's been hot against Toronto all year. If the Bruins are to advance past this first round and get to play Florida or Tampa, you know, as you said, you can reevaluate, but Swayman also could be really hot. Like, yeah. Swayman could just be, like, scorching right now, and then that you, so you have that too. So it's a good problem to have for that. Maybe it's because Jeremy Swayman's been eating his Factor meals. So Bruins up 2-1 going into game four on Saturday, getting the 2 days off in between, which leaves more time for adjustments, which we know Toronto is probably making quite a few. The Bruins have more of an active forecheck. They've they've been a bit better. They were better in game three at just throwing pucks on net. But what kind of adjustments would you like to see the Bruins make going into game four?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the goaltending and special teams, keep on doing what you're doing. You've got sizable advantages there. I think it all comes down to 5-on-5 play and just kind of sticking more with, adhering to the forecheck, making the simple, smart plays, just landing a little bit more punches there. Like, I think you feel good about a lot of the areas of your game that you have that current advantage in, but we look at Toronto and what they can bring at 5-on-5 play. Got to find some way to either, you know, land a few more punches there, or at least keep them off the board. And in terms of just like the personnel, I would probably see you have to take a look at that decor and see whether you need to make a few more adjustments out there. I think you look at like the way the power play is humming right now, like, is Shattenkirk a guy you want necessarily out there when he's not really made an impact on that power play, like the power play unit that's scoring right now? I think he played, what, 10 minutes and 5 seconds in that game, in game three. So, you know, I don't know if that means you keep Lauri and it's Lauri Weatherspoon. You bring back Rizlik, who, you know, and, you know, had his faults in game two, but still can make kind of those quick passes, plays well with McAvoy. Like, I think maybe make a tweak here and there in terms of maybe just your personnel. But I think it all comes down to 5-on-5 play, finding ways to, you know, do a little bit more damage against a guy like Samsonov. Because, like, it does feel like the Bruins are due to have a game where they're able to get a few more pucks against a guy like Samsonov. Even, like, especially a guy like Pastrnak, whether it's 5-on-5 play or power play, it just feels kind of like Matthews in game two, where he feels like he's due for a game where he's going to stuff the stat sheet here.
It does feel that way. I agree with you on that forecheck. And they did it in the third. You can't do it all game because then you're going to tire yourselves out. But, like, just being more aggressive on them, closing quick, forcing Toronto's D to make quick passes, I think is important throughout the game. And then just shooting. Like, Trent Frederick, I mean, like, when Frederick scored that goal, it was like, there it is. Like, that's just what you got to do. You know, they're not all going to go in like that, but some might. And against Samsonov, like, that's what's going to happen. And then I think in the Bruins' own end, I think you can always have cleaner breakouts. I think that, you know, Toronto's been pretty good at forcing turnovers at 5-on-5, and Swayman's covered up for some of them. There was one where Lowry and Shattenkirk both went behind the net and and left someone wide open in front. So I think stuff like that. And then you mentioned it, like, you know, do you make any changes to the back end? a lot of people in the comments last night in that post game show were ripping on Mason Lowrien, saying like how bad he was. I thought he was fine. Like, there, you have to expect with a guy like Lowrien, right? Like, if you're going to put him out there, you're going to have some lapses. You're going to have some like, what was that? But then you're also going to have some really nice passes. You're going to have, you know, a guy who's more active in the offensive zone. That's, that comes with the territory with him. So like, you have to understand, yes, he's 6'5", but he's not this defensive stalwart, at least not yet. So you're going to have those now. Like, I think Wotherspoon stays in, and they gave him the jacket after the game. He can't come out. Like, that's bad look.
There's like Knee almost got obliterated there. So as soon as he went down, I was like, oh my God, they're going to be with 5G again for,
I was like, they've lost this series. If they, because again, like Wotherspoon and Peak are sort of those secondary shutdown guys. You need them, I think, especially in a series like this, where, especially if Nylander comes back, who we'll get to in a second, like you need those guys in any situation. So, you know, on D, like Shattenkirk, I really haven't liked. They're not using him much. Is it worth it to keep him in just because he's on the power play? Like, you know, you could stick Lindholm there. You could stick Lowrien. Again, I know that they don't want to like touch the power play at the moment because it is working. But as you said, like, it's been the other unit that's been.
Yeah, it's Marchand, DeBrusque, Coyle, that kind of crew.
Yeah. And like, that's what's worked. So, you know, I would probably slot Shattenkirk out, but then are you going to have Lowrien Wotherspoon as the third? Because I'm assuming Grzelcyk would come back in. So like, do you want that? And then Forbert's not ready to go yet. So, I mean, that Peak injury really does screw him. Like,
yeah,
in terms of matchups.
He's playing really good hockey for them. So,
yeah. So we'll see what they end up doing back there. I mentioned Nylander. So William Nylander's been out the first three games. Hadn't he not missed a game since like 2016?
I believe so. Yeah. It's crazy.
Crazy, which is good for him. So according to Elliot Friedman, he is out with a migraine issue. And it's been so bad, they took him to the hospital to see if he had a concussion, which, A, I feel really bad for him because that sucks. That's not an excuse. Like, that just freaking stinks. And I'm sorry to see it because I want Nylander in this series. I do. Like, it makes it more exciting. I know the Bruins don't, but like, you know, he adds a whole element, makes it more interesting, and I think could really shift this series. So A, I hope he gets better, but B, like, it's a huge loss for the Leafs, and it's really unfortunate for him. I saw somewhere that he switched to tinted visors like a year ago because he had a migraine problem. So hope he gets better. I think that's the biggest thing, because that's migraines suck, and this sounds
not much you can do with that, especially when you're also competing the Stanley Cup playoffs, getting the shit kicked out of you for an entire night as well. Like, it's, dude, I don't even like getting like out of bed if you have a migraine, let alone ready for a game. So that's a sizable loss for the Maple Leafs, and we'll see if he comes back in game four, but he changes a whole other dynamic for that team. If you put a guy who's, what do you have, 98 points, if he's on your third line, and I think like their third line actually has been pretty effective with some of those guys like Jan Krook and what have you, they've generated some good chances. Got like Willie Nylander on there helps out quite a bit as well. So for the Maple Leafs, it all comes down to what we've expected. Like, if they're going to make this a series, it's going to be them really, you know, landing punches offensively. But if the power play is not, I was like choked to death. Jesus. If the Maple Leafs can't convert.
You're gonna puke,
dude. I was looking at the highlights. I was looking at the Maple Leafs power play, and I all of a sudden had like a brief moment here where I thought I was going to just vomit all over the screen. If they can't sort out these things on the power play, like, I don't know how you're gonna get back into the series unless Nylander comes back and also scores two or three goals on the third line. Like, I just can't see anything changing in terms of especially what they have in net. Like. Listen, if you go into game four and Samsonov has a 45 save shutout, that'd be unbelievable, but I just can't see that happening.
No, but I mean, just because we said it, it could happen. You know, I said Bruins in six, you said Bruins in six. I said it last night. I haven't come off that. I still believe that. This is why the series is kind of going how I thought, except I thought the Bruins would be better at 5-on-5 scoring, at least to start. Just given Toronto's defense, Toronto's goaltending. And, you know, I mean, like, the Frederick goal is because the goaltending, but like that's not because they the Bruins were just like doing some 5-on-5 wizardry. I mean, Marchand was, but they weren't as a team. I still think Bruins in six, and I go back to like, you know, Toronto made good adjustments going into game two. They win because of it. That's great. But now the Bruins have kind of unleashed that fast forecheck. It's working. You know, unless Samsonov turns a new leaf and unless that power play gets going. Now, I think the power play getting going is more likely than Samsonov just going sicko mode. Like, yeah. That's totally true. But I just think the Bruins have, you know, they have the they're winning the matchups in the right areas. And I don't know if I see that fully changing enough to think that the Leafs will win this series. Could it be Bruins in seven? Of course it could. Like, I don't know, you know, and I'm not saying the series is over, by the way. It's not. It is very much not. Because as I said, Toronto's power play could easily get going. And if Nylander comes back in the series, it changes things. And, you know, does Marner go off on a game? Do the Bruins have a bunch of defensive lapses? You know, does Swayman come back down to earth? That all could happen. But if things kind of continue on this track, I just think that the Bruins are the favorite, at least going forward. So not really, you know. Through three games, I think the Bruins are in a good spot. And I think that that's, you know, it seems like they have the upper hand in this series, at least for now. Connor, what can the people look forward to from you over at the Globe and Boston.com?
Hopefully not vomiting, Evan. That would be the most.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think I had like a little straw wrapper maybe in my Dunkin'. I don't know what that was, but.
Well, it's like, you know, when people talk and they'll start to like, and it's like, just swallow, please. Just take a second, clear your throat.
Like Tim Robinson when he's choking at the restaurant. Anyway, Evan, great question. You can find all of my stuff over at Boston.com and the Boston Globe. We have you covered throughout this playoff run with recaps, features, breakdowns, columns, all that good stuff. So read all of it over there at Boston.com and the Globe. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at @ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. Remember to go watch our post-game shows after every playoff game for as long as the Bruins last in the playoffs. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. We're presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. You poke the bear, listeners. Have a great rest of your week.